Well, I'm looking forward to our next speaker coming all the way from French Canada. He has his dear wife here. And she came down with them, and they had to make arrangements for somebody to take care of their two charming children. And I appreciate them coming all this distance here. And they've got some memories of the Pasadena area from times past. And that's one thing my wife and I enjoy coming on down here, some of the memories. We were driving down Huntington Drive here. I might have mentioned a couple of you. We went past a place called the Santa Anita Inn. And Joanne said, "Hey, that's the place. The place that we went on our honeymoon night after getting married in Pasadena. Spent our honeymoon in the honeymoon suite at the Santa Anita Inn. It's an old place, but it's still going, still going." And that was 47 years ago, the 1st of June. So it's coming on to the end of 47 years. So it's kind of visiting old home. And have a nice young couple like Michelle Denny and his wife here, you know, have a honeymoon away from their children down here. And he's going to be speaking to us. He always does with a lot of energy, and I appreciate that. His title is Christ, the Image of the Invisible God, Michelle Denny.
Thank you, Kev. Hello, everybody. Well, I think I got a solution to find out what the FedEx means.
Uh-oh.
You need to put the right glasses. You see? Because if you have some windows, colored windows, you won't see the reality. So you need to see the reality. You need the right glasses. So, actually, today, I hope it's going to be helpful. My goal is to help you not to see the logo, but to see the logos. So, in order to do that, I'd like to introduce my topic with another little topic, which is an expression I found is, do we see God? Do we see God with our eyes? Do we see God with our colored glasses? How do we see God? So there was a little story in the Bible, the two disciples of Emmaus, and they were not expecting really to see God. So Christ was walking with them, and they never recognized him. So why? Because they didn't believe him. So they had their mind was already conceived that he would not return, and he's gone, so they never believed him. So to make it short, we just need to have an open mind in order to let God come to us and give us revelation. And God give us the revelation of himself through Jesus Christ. So my topic today is to talk about Jesus as the image of God. So Christ, as we read in Colossians 1:15, is the image of the invisible God. So God is invisible, so we cannot really see him. So now I put the different glasses to be able to read my notes. Otherwise, I'm going to have no problem like other speakers. Okay, so I would like to start by the definition of the word image. Because this is the topic we're going to do today. We're going to try to get deeper what an image is, what does it mean, and why Christ is the image of God. So in Colossians, we read that Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. So the strong definition for that word is icon. It's like an icon. It's an image which represents the reality. But it's not the reality. It's an image which represents the reality. We are made to the image of Christ. So we are developing Christ's character to become a copy of Jesus Christ. which or whom is a copy of the Almighty God, right, in the image of him. So an image means, the word means an image, a figure, a likeness, an image of the thing, an acute of the moral likeness of renewed man to God, the image of the Son of God, into which two Christians are transformed. In Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3, there's another word for describing the word image. It's not the same word, it's not the word icon. It's the word character. So let's read again, let's read a little bit this verse, try to find out a little bit more about that word, that special word, that it's only one place in the New Testament, and it's in Hebrews 1. God, who at various times and in various ways, spoke in time past to the Father by the prophet. This was already mentioned by other speakers. As in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed. Is God then appointed himself? Just a question like that? No. The Son was appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who, the Son, being the brightness of his glory, the glory of the Father, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So the Son sat down just on the right of the Majesty on high. There's also other translations that can help us to understand better the word image. We have to be in the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance. So there's a little bit more here than to use the word person. Because we know that God is a person. But when you use the word substance, there is the substance in the person. So God is there is something tangible in God. There is something deep in God. So Christ is a reflection, is the express image of what God is. This person, his personality, his character. He is a reflection of God's glory and the exact likeness of his being. So the word for image there is found only in one place in the New Testament. And I have a note in my New King James Bible. It says the word means the exact representation or exact character. Representation is acting like the one who sends us at his place with his principle, character, and authority. Thayer's defined that word character this way. The instrument used for engraving or carving, the mark stamped upon that instrument or wrought out on it, a mark or figure burned or stamped on, an impression, the exact expression, the image of any person or thing, mark likeness, precise reproduction in every respect. So how God reveals himself to us? He does it by showing us an image that represents him, that we can identify with, because we are human. God is invisible. We cannot see God. But God is helping us to see him, to see what he is, who he is, by allowing an expression. He expresses himself through a being, which is his image, Jesus Christ. And by knowing Jesus Christ, we can know the Father, because he became visible. In a way, it's God became visible through Jesus Christ. It's an image which represents himself. So Christ said, he said, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You have seen the love I have for you, you have seen the mercy, you have seen the Father. He represents God's character, because God put everything in his system. He put his own fullness, his own character, his own love. This is what Christ is all about. God is invisible, and he's the only one who has immortality. He's dwelling in light which cannot be approached. No one or of no man have seen, nor can see. God cannot be complete without Christ. This is weird to say, but of course God himself is complete, but he cannot reveal himself completely without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has the role of the wife. They discuss together, they have a relationship. Jesus Christ is training us to resemble him, that we can resemble God. He's like a mother. It's like the Father gave him the task to raise us up, to resemble him, that we all may resemble God. So we all made in his image, the image of God. I would like to talk a little bit about the role, Christ's role. I was saying he has the role of the wife, because I believe that the human family represents the spiritual family. So there is a father, there is a wife, there are the kids. So there is the Almighty God, there is the Christ, his counselor, the one that he relies on to accomplish the task, and we are the children, the brother and sisters of Christ. So Christ is the manifestation, the expression of God, Emmanuel, God with us. I remember when I understood, I got the knowledge of God, I came on that verse and I said, God with us. Christ being identified as God with us. And afterward, I understood that, yes, he was God with us. He was representing God because God gave him the authority. He was representing God. And when you represent God, you can be called God. Not God as a true God, but God representative. So Christ was God representative. So it's exactly says what it said. Emmanuel means God with us through Jesus Christ. This is the way we have to understand this verse, that concept. He is a partial likeness of the original, because God, Christ, he came to reveal God, but there are things that he won't reveal to us, because only spirit beings can understand fully God. And when I say fully, there's probably other levels. They're still learning and learning and learning. I think it's an endless process to understand who God is. His love, his power, his nature, his character. He's a fascinating being. So the way I see, this is eternal life, that you may know in the true God. I think it's a everlasting process. At first I thought it was, in order to get the eternal life, you have to understand who the true God is, and I meditate on it, and I think the verse says that the eternal life is that we may know him. This is a continual process throughout the eternity. Even God is going to increase his knowledge, and we're going to always learn from him, and we're going to always get more and more and more from him. So, Jesus Christ is a partial likeness of God. He said, why do you call me good? There's only one who is good. So even Jesus isn't referred as himself as the having the possess the goodness. Only God possesses the dominion. Only God possesses the immortality. So, he is in the exact representation, the word, of the love, mercy, wisdom, and grace, God's grace to us. He is the radiant glory of the invisible deity. There is a verse, I think, somewhere, it says that the wife is the glory of the man, so Christ is the glory of the Father. This is the same concept, husband, wife, role. We're talking about role. He is the channel through whom God accomplishes everything. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 6 and 7. Christ is the one who is being sent. He is God's servant. He is not the master, the big master. He serves God. He's God's servant. He's the complement of the deity, the invisible God. To us, humans. God cannot be complete and present, expressing himself to humans without Christ. It's like husband and wife, who are their children. God is the source. Christ is the channel. Everything comes from God. Everything is distributed through Jesus Christ. We are made to the image of Christ. We are conformed to the image of Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among any brethren. I would like to talk a little bit about the word theos, because we know that Christ is the image of God, and often in the Bible, Christ is identified with the word God, which is the word theos in Greek. And what I would like to do here is try to explain how do we understand the Bible? What is our concept to understand the Bible? Like what I said before, there are difficult verses and easy verses. There are principles and all of the principles, the difficult verses are in the Bible. So which one are we going to use to identify a doctrine, to identify Jesus Christ? I like to use the hope of the Father. When you do a Father, you get Jesus Christ in the Jesus Christ, which has only one side. And you find your Father. These 4 minutes regarding Jesus are the concept and the principle. When we say that everything has been given to Christ, it's a principle. It's not something you can interpret. It's there. He was appointed. Everything has been given to him. He received ability to forgive sin. He received ability to give eternal life. Everything he has been given to him. This is a concept. So we cannot rely on language. So that is just a concept. There's nothing to do. So what I find is that, let's take for example the Trinity. We take the word John 1:1, theos, and the word was God. So if you take that word, theos, and we give it the meaning that it represents the true God. And on that, and we call it a mystery. And on that, we try to flip the other puzzle, principle, to value their doctrine, their point that God is being one and one. How do you define which interpretation you're going to give to that word? When actually this word has 3-4 different meanings. First meaning of theos, which is from there, is that word is used of general appellation. This is used of the word theos is used as a general appellation of deities and divinities. This word is used when it talks about Christ. This word is used when you speak about the only true God. And this word also is used of whatever can in any respect be likened to God, or resemble him in any way. God representative, God's vicegerent, the magistrate and judge. So up, we're going to choose now, or we're going to make fit that verb in these four avenues that we have. We all understand that language can be complicated. We discussed this on the other night. When we rely on language, not everybody knows what I just told you, that this word has different meanings. So, but an easy way to understand and to understand this word is to make it work with all the principles. So if we know that we have God, and everything has been created right, authority for the sin, to heal, eternal life, everything has been given to him. He says, I come here to bring you the message of God. This is not even my own message. This is the message of God. So he is actually a messenger. God's messenger, God's agent, like he said. So now, when you look at the four meanings of the word he is, which one are you going to take? According to all that he is, you see, this is the fourth one. He is God representative. So when I look at the word that Christ is God, for me, I don't relate that he's the Almighty God. I relate it to that he represents the true God. So we call it the principle of realization. So when we understand that God delegated everything to Jesus, we understand that he is his agent, his representative. Does it make sense? So Jesus Christ is actually the cornerstone or the rock by whom God saved us. He tried to make himself known to the prophet, and in the later days, he sent his son to reveal the Father, and he gave himself, he gave his son as a ransom for our sin. So, how God saves us? God is our Savior, but He delegates this process to Jesus. He saves us through Jesus, which is who is the Lamb of God. So Jesus becomes God's own love, God's own expression of love toward us. He is the expression, because the word image means he is the exact representation. He is the expression. God expressed itself in Jesus. So God is our Savior, so is the Lamb, so is Jesus. God saves us through Jesus. And there is two verses to say that God is our rock, God is our Savior. God is the originator of everything. He's the source. He's the one who saves us, of course. But he does it through Jesus Christ. So in 1 Samuel 2:2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside me, neither is there any rock like our God. That rock, that major rock that we see in Daniel, like Kermit explained yesterday, and there is a rock that is detaching from that rock and coming to it, the statue, which is that rock we knew also that was Jesus, his second coming. We can read also in 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that by the commandment of God, our Savior. So God is really the one who saved us. So do we have two saviors? Do we have two rocks? No, we have one rock and one Savior. And that rock and Savior is Jesus, is the Father, is the Almighty God. But he does it, he delegates it to Jesus Christ. So that's why Christ is called our rock. He's called our Savior by delegation. Not because he is in the first place. We receive this authority, this task from his Father and his God. This is what we, this is exactly what we read in Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, this rock here is Jesus, the knowledge that he's the Son of God, I will build my church. He says the same in Titus 1:4. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So Jesus is really our Savior. He's our personal Savior. He's the means that God chose to redeem us from our sins. This is pictured by Abraham and Isaac sacrifice, a father and a son, which God, to save us, sacrificed his own son. And this was predicted, prophesied in the Old Testament. I would like that you read this together to understand how God saves us. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow. Of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ here. I think everybody would agree that the personage here that is talked about is Jesus Christ. Are you, Nina? Are you agree with that? I'm sorry? Just want your opinion. Are you agree with that we're talking about Jesus here? Okay, that's fine. If we take other verses, you're going to see also in the Revelation that we're talking there is a lamb that comes towards God, we see the scroll. So here we're talking about a lamb from the Old Testament, was a prophecy. So he is, I continue reading. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and as it were a hiding of faces from him, he being despised, and we esteem it not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastening of our peace was on him. And his stripes, and with his stripes, we ourselves are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. And Jehovah has laid on him the iniquity of all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before he its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So you can continue up to Isaiah 53 verse 2. Therefore, I will divide to him with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul to death. And he was counted among the transgressors, and bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for transgression. So by being the Lamb of God, the chosen one that God decided to use to redeem us from our sin, afterward he became our mediator, our intercessor. That's why now Christ is between God and man. He is our mediator, our intercessor. So how will be all the end of that? There is a fantastic verse in 1 Corinthians 15:28 that says that God will be all in all. And when all things shall be subdued to him, and then shall the Son himself be subject unto him, to the Father, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So God, the operating system, is love. The contrary of Satan operating system, which is fear, and faith. So in order to be in God, or I should say that God may be in us, because we are the temple of God, we need to operate by His own operating system, which is love. God seeks to fill His creation with the image of Himself. Christ has His own image. His children have the image of His Son Jesus. His children have the image of His Son Jesus. We will all shine with God's love, with God's glory. God is the source. He is the generator. He is the electric central that gives the power that we can have eternal life. But He also has been given to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I give you eternal life, and now you're going to give it to your brothers and sisters. This is the delegation process. God delegates, Christ do it, and we're going to get also things to do, some authority and power. We will all be in God's image. So this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:40. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is truly different of what of the earthly different. One glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the star. For one star is different from another glory. Another star in glory, I'm sorry. So also the resurrection of the dead. In Daniel, there is a verse at the end of this book that says we're gonna shine like stars in the heaven. And when we look at the stars, we see that they are different in their glory. One is more shining than another one. One is a bit bigger than another one. So this is a representation of what we're going to look like when we're going to be in the kingdom as spirit beings. We're going to all shine the glory of God, but to one servant, receive ten more talents, five more talents, so we're going to all have different shines. I would like to share a personal understanding, and I rely on the Bible for that. The story of Joseph with his brothers when he got the dream. Let's read together in Genesis 37, verse 9. And he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brother. And he said, Behold, I have dreamed another dream. And behold, the sun, the moon, and heaven stars bow down to me. He was his brother. And he told it to his father and to his brothers. So now, sun, moon, and stars are symbols. What do they represent? You just get the answer right after that. He told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I, the sun, your mother, the moon, and your brothers, the stars, indeed come to bow ourselves to the earth before you? So this is a representative picture of what we see in the heaven today. You see the sun, you see the moon, you see the star. There is a verse in Psalm that says that the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He is like the sun. Christ, I like to say that he's the moon because he has the role of the wife. Because Sarah, the wife of Abraham, was picture as the moon. And we, children of God, are the descendants of the 12 stars. We are the little stars, in other words. But there's something interesting here to difference and to understand about who Christ is. I'll make another picture. You have the sun, which represents the Father. The Almighty. The sun? Nothing
is sustaining the sun. The sun is sustaining life itself. The sun is adding or producing its own energy. It's nuclear explosions all the time. So the sun generates its energy, it's all we call that energy, and it gives life to all that we have on this earth. So the sun represents the Father. Jesus Christ, which is as his robe, the wife of the Father, has no life, has no power in itself. And the stars, which we are, as sons of God, we have no life in ourselves. We have no power. We have no energy. So what we see when we look outside, we see Jesus in the dark, in the night, because he is the light in the darkness. We see Jesus having his own life, but his own life is a reflection of the light of the sun. Same thing for all the stars. So all the stars are reflecting the light of the sun. So all the sons of God are going to reflect for eternity the light of the Father, which is the Almighty God. Isn't it fantastic? So that's why we will all shine differently according to our works. We're going to be retributed by our works. But we will never get the rank or position of Jesus Christ. He's the biggest star. He will always be. He cannot be the sun. He cannot be God. He is God's reflection. God's image. And we, as children of God, are God's image. But this process takes form through the mother who is Jesus Christ, which is the head of the church. So when you look at the star, you just look at the old concept of the true God and start reflecting the light, the love, and the mercy of the true God. This is our tremendous duty. So, now, let's try to see with nothing, no conceived mind, the truth about who is Jesus Christ. He is really the image, the expression of God, and we will all be the expression of God. Any questions?
What is your understanding of the scripture where it talks about the walk in the wilderness?
I believe in pre-existence. I believe it was Jesus Christ. But I don't believe he has always eternally existed. He got, at a certain point, at the beginning of God's creation, he was given birth as a spirit being, and he left that position to become fully human. So I reach with that position that he was fully human, but he was carrying God's presence, God's authority. He was really God's representative. So this is
there.
Is
there I'm a little uncomfortable with
the
use of the
life
of God.
It's a role.
Right, but it seems like the role the scripture is on, especially in the image right here, is as a son. Mm-hmm. So a son, you know, I have three sons, so I know a little bit about this. They kind of reflect me, you know, the way they walk and talk and think about certain things. Similar to how I do it. I kind of reflect my father. So Jesus is able to reflect more perfectly the nature of God. And the other one was that he's the husband of the church, not the mother of the church, but the husband of the church is the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
And I know this being metaphor.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I can't help but be sensitive to the implementation of the industry that is operating at my city, like the most liberal city in the world, and where Jesus' masculinity and God, the Father, is constantly under attack. Mm-hmm. And everyone's trying to call God a she, and Jesus only Christ, because the human part is the gender that's bad. So I know that's not your intention, but I can't help but like raising those questions in class.
The way I see it is, it's like God has different ways to describe all he works. Certainly, Christ is the Son of God. We are all brothers, and he's, we are all sons. That's true, but the church is feminine. It has a role of a mother, and that mother has a head, which is Jesus Christ. So in that sense, he has a kind of the role of a mother, and he's training us like a mother in a family does with her children. So he's training us, and in that sense, he has the role of a one. It's your role. But he is a son. Yeah. Is it more clear? I understand what you get. Okay.
I think semantics is knowing you are. And you're making it clear. If your white guy, you, your posture, play the role of mother and father all of your children.
Yes, you're
right. Semantically, you know, words are still totally wrong.
Yeah, it's still really awkward when you say, she is our mother. Because
this is what we see in the Bible, as the church remain our mother. The church is our mother. So he's the head of the church. So he's a mother. You know, in that but she's right. You know, God can train us, but he just delegate this to Jesus. And now Jesus takes the role of a mother, but he's also called a father too. So he has both roles actually. But I just want to keep it simple, just to difference the Father, the Son, and us. So we are all God's image. We made into God's image. Is there any? Exactly.
Why would you create a medical technology on the part of the non-profit?
It's still the metaphor, it's like going from the top, and it can be used in the middle, and it can be used like for us, we are the bride of Christ. Actually, we are feminine. We are the bride, and Christ becomes the husband. So, and when we will all be together in the kingdom, we're going to be all God's sons. So we're going to all have, in a certain way, the role of a wife and children at the same time, because God is going to delegate to us different things to do. Christ being the first, and he's going to use Christ to lead us, to train, not to train, but we're going to be always in training, but he's going to share his power and his authority. We're going to have this tremendous task of filling the universe, if I can express it this way. So these are only things that help us to understand the way God works. He works by delegation.
And uses that mentor, why would you do all the work in that?
But actually, the metaphor I used in the New Testament, which was foreshadowing what would go in the New Testament. My own interpretation of Genesis was what the physical sun, the stars that we see outside, reflecting God's glory. And this is what he says even in Paul, in 1 Corinthians. He said, this is how it works. We will all shine differently. So, the last one maybe?
Yeah, one more.
Which one?
Go.
I know it's gonna be a challenge, that one, but I'll let.
So I think that a passage that is coming to me as well, to use that image, because if you have a set of images which play both to the Old and the Testament, and you have a question then of why these two images stand, and that does bear on the context.
Okay.
Yeah. One point to my mind, I wonder if we're not missing something in that the Father, our kid asked, well, what is Mrs. God?
Okay.
Where is Mrs. God? I was going to get that when I talked about God. Well, where is Mrs. God? Where is the femininity? So the Father has the capacity of love and affection of him. The Son also has the designated the Son a feminine figure. Rather, Rembrandt's painting of God.
I said role. I didn't say
role.
A role.
It's Rembrandt's picture of the Father.
What does he do as his role, Jesus? He's training us. It's a role.
Okay, but Rembrandt's painting of the prodigal son returns. He shows the hand of the Father, the firm hand on the shoulder of the son, and the longer finger of the white hand on his back, consoling him. As a father and mother would be, I think that's character we sometimes like to separate too much by making male, female, and going and reporting to the separation.
We agree that God, as in himself, both genders.
Yeah.
We agree on that. He's also masculine and he's feminine. He has both attributes of a man and a woman. But when you look what Christ does, also you can see that he has both gender. But as a role, I'm just talking about a role. He has the role of my wife, she's a counselor to me. I'm gonna talk to her, I want to buy her out, I want to do something, I'm gonna ask her what she thinks about that, and sometimes I'm gonna say, yeah, go and do it. So it's a role, it's a role model, which the human family is named to represent the spiritual family. It's just a matter of role. It's not that he is a woman or things like that. It's just what he does as a role. Is it clear? Okay, so I thank you for listening to me and give the word to John.